Yes, I have a lot of favorite songs, but that was really one of my favorite songs. Love that song. The last few weeks, we've been looking at kind of some of the amusing things that has happened in John chapter 6. I think the story today, or the scripture today, is no less amusing, but also has a hint of tragedy to it. As we look at how it applies to our lives, we are coming off the story of John, again, in John chapter 6, of Jesus feeding more than 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And again, for me, that's a pretty big miracle. I mean, I have a hard time feeding myself with an 8-piece chicken. So, I mean, so feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish is pretty impressive. And maybe I didn't point this out last week, but there were some leftovers. And if you know the story, there were 12 baskets of leftovers after feeding more than 5,000 people with 5 loaves. Hear me well, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay, big deal. Let's bow our heads and our hearts for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Thankful for you. Thankful for the way that you love us and the way that you care for us. And today, we're thankful for your presence here once again. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're coming off this miracle. Jesus, again, just fed more than 5,000 people with what? How many loaves? 5. How many fish? 2. Still a big deal. And so we look at this scripture, and I want you to look at it in your bulletins there, or you can look at it in your Bible as you will, or if you want to, John chapter 6, verse 30. This is right after they had just eaten. This is the same group of people who just ate all this, who just got their bellies full. 5,000 plus people, 5 loaves, 2 fish. This is what they're asking. I just want to see if you see the same irony that I see right here. They're talking to Jesus, the same one who had the bread, who had the fish, the same person who looked to heaven and gave thanks, broke the bread, all of those things. The same person, they're looking to the same person, and this is what they say to him. They said, this is what the scripture says, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Does anybody here see the irony in that? Does anybody here see just the nonsense in that? Again, maybe for them it wasn't a big deal, but for me, I see a guy that just not so long ago, maybe just not a matter of a year or even a few months, or maybe not even a matter of a few weeks, but maybe a few days, not so long ago, does this amazing miracle. You look at the same guy and you say, listen, we need a sign. It's sad, but it's us. We can look at these folks and we can say, what's wrong with them? I'm sure Jesus is like, what do you mean a sign? Were you there? If yes, I'm talking to the same person. It's the same conversation. I just told you that you were there and you were following me, not because of anything that I did, but because you ate the bread and you ate the fish and you were filled up. And then Jesus did get a little pushy with them. Jesus says, listen, you guys are focused too much on just regular bread. This is verse 26. He says, you guys are focused a little too much on just regular bread. You need to stop focusing on the things that perish. That is also us. You know how you get too caught up in the things that perish, the things that really will pass away, the things that even a year from now won't make a difference, much less after you die. You know that that happens to people. I know you don't know people like that, but I do. And so Jesus in verse 26 had just said, listen, y'all are focused too much on things that perish. You need to focus things more on things that don't perish. And then a few verses later, this is the nonsense that they come up with. Now, I don't know if they were mad with Jesus. I don't know if they were just angry with him because he pushed them just a little bit to focus on spiritual things rather than physical things. Sometimes that happens when you're talking to people about God. They get mad. But they come up with this? And I got to wonder again, what is Jesus thinking? Is Jesus thinking, what do you mean a sign? But then I got to ask myself, what's he thinking about us? I will admit that I have been here and I've called it a crisis of faith. Lord, are you really there? Lord, are you really listening? And then sometimes I say something stupid, like this. Lord, show me a sign. That's what these folks are doing. And again, that's us. I wonder if Jesus isn't looking at me saying, what do you mean, show me a sign? Have you seen creation lately? Have you looked around lately? What about the miracle I performed for you last year? What about the one before the year before that? What about that prayer that you prayed where I gave you what you wanted? Have you forgotten? What about a peace that passes all understanding? What about that joy that is unspeakable? What about those things? What about that time, those few times you actually heard my voice? What about all of those things? How can you still want a sign? How can you still wonder if I'm there? And sometimes I wonder if Jesus just doesn't want to shake these guys and God just doesn't want to shake us as well and say, what do you mean you want a sign? I'm still here. Nothing's changed. But God, you didn't answer all my prayers. No, I didn't say yes to all your prayers. I answered it. I don't have to tell you this. You guys have been Christian long enough to know this, but no's an answer. In the same way that you don't give your child everything that they ask for, right? And for you parents who have given their children everything that you asked for, or they've asked for, you're loving that now, aren't you? Yeah. What do you mean you want a sign? I'm still here. God gives us and gives us and gives us and gives us. He provides for us. He provides for us. He answers prayers. He gives us so much. And all we want is more, more, more. Which brings us to my second problem. When we get more, 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 because sometimes God does open the storehouses of heaven and we get more than we can handle. We get an abundance of whatever it is we're looking for, and they are good things, and God just gives us and gives us and gives us and gives us, and we just take and take and take and take, and here's the problem. We just try to hang on to it. People like to hoard stuff. You ever met people like that? I mean, some people, it's a psychological issue. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've been to those people's houses. Yeah. And I don't want you to look at them if they're in here. But, you know, to try to avoid. As a matter of fact, everyone should probably stare at the ceiling while I'm talking about this. But, you know, that question you asked, why don't you get rid of this? Oh, I can't get rid of that. Why not? You hadn't used it in 25 years. Well, you know, such and such gave, shush. Churches are the worst for it. That's a different story. There's a story told about Mrs. Jones. Mr. Jones had saved all his money. And as a matter of fact, he and his wife, who was a very sweet woman, they had lived in almost near poverty, even though they had more than $10 million in the bank. And Mr. Jones loved money more than anything else, and he was just a tyrant when it came to keeping it. And just before he died, he said to his wife, he said, now listen, dear, when I die, I would want you to take all my money and place it in the casket with me. His wife was very distraught, but she loved her husband. So he was able to coerce his wife into promising him that when he died, she would put all the money in the casket with him. A few days later, he died, and he was stretched out in the casket, and the wife was sitting there in the black, next to her best friend, and just before the undertakers got ready to close the casket, the wife said, wait a minute, and she took a briefcase and placed it in the casket. Then the undertakers locked the casket and rolled it away, and her friend was aware that the promise the wife had made, and she said, I hope you weren't crazy enough to put all that money in there with that stingy old man. I sure did, said the wife. I made a promise, and I'm a good Christian, and I can't lie. I promised him that I would put all that money in the casket with him. The friend said, you mean to tell me that you put every cent of that money in the casket with him? And Mr. Jones said, every cent. I transferred all the money to my account, and I wrote him a check. You have heard the old saying, and it is a true saying, that you never see a funeral procession with a U-Haul following it. You never see a hearse with a U-Haul following it. Here's the thing. You can't take it with you. You cannot take it with you. But Jesus was very aware of the fact that we would try. He was very aware of the fact that people would get stuff and they would cling to it and they would hold on to it. And so he talked about this time and time and time again. I don't know if you realize this or not, but Jesus talked about more about money and possessions and greed than he did about heaven and hell combined. As a matter of fact, 11 out of Jesus' 39 parables are about money and possession and greed. If you go back and look at it, as a matter of, just even more astronomical, the Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, fewer than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possession. Here's the thing. It was a big deal to Jesus. He knew that people would get stuff, that they would find stuff, that they would be given stuff, that they would be blessed. And much like this crowd, they would just want more and more and more. And when they got more and more and more, they would just try to hang on to it and keep it, and they would never use it for the kingdom of God. And so he told stories. He told stories about the servants who were given talents. He told stories like Lazarus and the rich man who had plenty, and Lazarus who had nothing and just desired to eat the crumbs. The Bible is so graphic sometimes, just desired to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He told stories about the man who had so much, and the more that he got, he decided, you know what? I've got so much. I'm going to build a bigger storehouse. I'm going to build a bigger barn. And you remember what happened to that guy? The Bible tells us that God came to him that night and said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then things happened in Jesus' life. It wasn't just stories that he told. The story that we read, the event in Jesus' life where this young man who was rich came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, hey, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus, I guess Jesus was trying to lead him into it. Jesus said, listen, I want you to follow all the commandments. And the young man said, listen, I've done all this from when I was a child. And then Jesus said, listen, there's one thing you're lacking. You see Jesus doing a Columbo. You ever seen that in Columbo? And Columbo turns back around. Well, just one more thing, Jesus says. I want you to take everything that you have, and I want you to sell it. And after you sell it, do what? I want you to give. Give it to the poor. This whole idea of not building larger barns, not building bigger storehouses, but giving things away. We're coming up on my favorite season, Thanksgiving and Christmas put together. I'm glad we have it that close together. An opportunity for us to see the best and the worst. I like to watch Black Friday shopping on TV. You know, all the news reports, all the people that are standing out there for things that really don't matter. When I hear about people getting into fights because of a TV, a flat screen TV, or an iPhone, or a piece of technology, and I'm thinking about our veterans here, and I'm thinking about especially those that have seen combat, they can tell you what matters. Those who have lost friends in combat, they can tell you that the thing that matters isn't the latest iPhone. It's not the newest computer or the latest flat screen TV. Those are not the things that matter. But we will fight for it. And we will huff and puff. We will just be angry when our technology doesn't work. You've seen this happen. As a matter of fact, I did something that I hadn't done in 20 years. I had to write my sermon out on paper. My computer, the battery charger, went kaput. Yeah, I was upset. But as I was talking to one of our church members earlier today, it's one thing to have technology. It's another thing when technology has you. It's one thing when you have it. It's a completely different thing when it has you. Give. Just give it away. Don't keep it. Just give it away. That's the spirit of the season. And really give it away. Not just have it in your heart, but have it in your actions as well. As a matter of fact, Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 6. Where your heart is, there is your treasure. I'm sorry, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Not just in your heart, but actions. Many of you probably remember Charles Schulz. You know Charles Schulz? What's he known for? Snoopy. That's right. Peanuts. That's right. He came up with this a few years ago before he passed. I don't know if you can read that or not. I'll read it. The first frame of these is just Snoopy and these two boys. And it says, Snoopy looks, one of the boys says, Snoopy looks kind of cold, doesn't he? And the second frame is, I'll say he does. Maybe we'd better go over and comfort him. And the two boys walk over to Snoopy, and one of them says, be of good cheer, Snoopy. And the other one says, yes, be of good cheer. And then they both walk off. And Snoopy's got this huge question mark over him. Maybe a more true to life example is what happened a few hundred years ago on the coast of Massachusetts. This Thanksgiving story. A story about the Wampanoag. The Wampanoag Indians who took in, you know the story, the pilgrims. And the pilgrims showed up, about 50-something of them, and it was the winter, and they didn't have a whole lot. And they were about to die, and the Wampanoag Indians saw them and said, hey, we've got enough. Now, they could have gone up to the pilgrims and said, hey, be of good cheer. But they didn't. Not just that. They gave. I know you guys get tired of hearing it. We are a rich nation. We are a wealthy nation. And some of us are individually wealthy. Man, let's call it like it is, huh? And some of us know people that are desolate. And us walking up to them and saying, hey, be of good cheer. Be warm. Be filled. And then just walking off. Isn't doing them not a bit of good. It's the season, but it's the calling that's even more important, to give and to give generously. This is the word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.